Good morning. A blessed Christmas to all. Just one correction. I just ran one marathon. Not many, just one. Let us pray and ask God to illuminate our minds and our hearts and open our hearts to His Word. O gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we want to bless your holy name. For you are indeed our great King. You are our wonderful God, our loving Savior. And as we now open your holy word, we pray that your Holy Spirit will illuminate our minds. May your Holy Spirit also open our hearts. Grant us, O Lord, receptive hearts to receive your word. And grant us grace, not just to be doers of, not just to be hearers of your word, but also to be doers of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. During this Christmas season, we see many places lighted up with all kinds of beautiful and colorful lights. And many people in Singapore, we are all celebrating Christmas. And we see crowds of people in shopping malls buying Christmas gifts for their loved ones and their friends. But the sad fact is, not many people understand the significance of those bright lights, the spiritual significance of those lights. How about you, my dear friends? Do you understand the spiritual significance of lights as taught to us here in God's Word? Today, let us focus our thoughts on the topic, Lights of Christmas. And here in this passage in Luke chapter 2, the author tells us that 40 days after Jesus was born, Mary went up to the temple to offer the appointed sacrifices for her purification. And Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus, presented the holy child, Jesus, according to the Jewish law. And this passage is a clear declaration of Simeon's faith that this child in his arms was indeed the Savior. And Joseph and Mary marveled at the things that were spoken of this child by Simeon. Take special note that Simeon told the reason that they had to rejoice. Indeed, they must rejoice, but rejoice with trembling. And this child shall be a suffering Savior. And the prophecy spoken by Simeon had been fulfilled both for the Jews and Gentiles before Simeon's very eyes. And we read in verses 28 to 32, that he took the child by his arm and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all the people. He was indeed glad that God fulfilled his promise before his very eyes as he was holding on to the holy child, Jesus. But take note of what he says here. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people, Israel. And that's what we're going to talk about. The light. And here Simeon rejoiced in the Lord for enabling him to see the Savior. And now he says, I'm ready to die. I'm ready to die in peace. Oh, we ought to understand the light to lighten the Gentile is of great significance. And as we celebrate Christmas together. And as for Simeon, he was filled with joy. Because he knew very well in his heart that God will fulfill his promise in the child, Jesus. Let us first consider the purposes of physical lights. Oh, thank God for the lights here. Yeah. Lights allow us to see objects and people. If you were to switch off all the lights, you won't be able to see me, neither will I be able to see you. Bright lights enable us to see the beauty of God's creation. I enjoy going to Admiralty Park and the waterfront, the Woodlands waterfront, which is just behind. And I do enjoy going there, especially early in the mornings, when the sun is brightly shining and when we see the clear blue sky. And it is spiritually refreshing to walk into the park and behold the wonders of God's creation. But you know, without the natural light from the sun, we will not be able to see those colorful birds, those colorful insects, and beautiful flowers in the park. So praise God for the sun, the moon, and the stars. The natural lights from the sun help us to see. Help us to see even any dangers ahead. Bright lights from the sun help us to see if there be any water spillage or oil spillage on the floor or broken glasses, sharp objects. And we want to avoid them so that we will not fall into danger. And in the evening, when it gets dark, we need artificial lights. And sadly, even in the daytime, we need artificial lights to help us to see because we are in an enclosed area. Many of my elderly friends share with me their apprehensions about going out in the evening. And I understand it because they are not able to see well in the dark. And those who are drivers, they say, I prefer not to drive in the evening because when it gets dark, I will not be able to see well. And when evening comes, we have to depend on the artificial lights like lamps, street lights, candles, torch lights, and so forth. And we must thank God for artificial lights that we have because there are many places that I've been to, especially in the third world countries, where they could not afford to have artificial lights. There's no electric energy for them in the villages. Now, the Bible tells us also about some amazing, miraculous light that God has given to the children of Israel. Again, my emphasis is this. God has given us lights, and there are important spiritual significance to those lights. What we read in Exodus 10, 22-23, we read here that Moses stretched forth his hand towards heaven, and there was a darkness in all the land of Egypt for 3 days, and they saw not one another. They were not able to see one another. Neither rose any from the place for 3 days. But, take note, all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. That is from Exodus 10. The Israelites had light in their homes, while Egyptians had darkness. The Lord was with the people of Israel, but not with the people, not with the Egyptians. Darkness was a sign, and it was a sign of God's judgment upon the Egyptians. But the miraculous light was a sign of God's mercies to the Israelites. Isn't it true how miserable it is to do anything when there's no light? We can hardly do anything at all when we are living in total darkness. You know, Singaporeans, we like to complain. Let me tell you, if there's a blackout for even a few hours, there'll be lots of complaining and grumbling. For the Israelites, they were grateful. They were grateful to God for giving them light in their homes during those 3 days. Moving on, there's also another miraculous event recorded for us that is found in Exodus 13. We read in verse 21 and 23, "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and by night. And he took not away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from the people." Now, what it shows here is the wonderful work of God's hand. God provided the pillar of fire by night to give to the Israelites a sense of security and comfort. It was a sign of his abiding presence with them. God gave them light in order to show them that he was with them. The Israelites were indeed greatly comforted because of God's presence. Yes, my dear friends, we will indeed be comforted when we know that his presence is with us wherever we go. And God's people, we as God's people, we can always take comfort, the comfort of his promise that he will never leave us nor forsake us, especially when we look at those beautiful lights that God has given to us. Now let us look at this spiritual, look deeper into the spiritual significance of light. First, light represents the nature of God. God is light. In 1 John 1:5, the word of the Lord here says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, God is light, and in him there is no darkness." Absolutely no darkness at all. And when there's light, there'll be no darkness. And we must indeed present our great God to our unbelieving friends and relatives, that this God whom we believe in, he is indeed the light, the pure and perfect light to this dark, lost world. Our God is a holy God, and there's no darkness in him. He is sinless. He is perfect. And that is the very nature of our Heavenly Father. And this is also the very nature of our Lord Jesus Christ. The memory verse that is in John 8:12, where Jesus says, "I am the light. I am the light of the world. And he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have light, shall have the light of life." Next, light symbolizes spiritual illumination. We read in 2 Corinthians 4, where the Apostle Paul says to the church at Corinth and also to all of us, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not." Take note what the Apostle Paul here says, "Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ," the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, he says, "who is the image of God, should shine upon them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." For God, take note here, says, "who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, had shined in our hearts to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord that Jesus has the power power to shine on us. Jesus has the power to deliver us from darkness, from spiritual darkness. Jesus has the power to give us knowledge and understanding. And the Apostle Paul reminds us that the Holy Spirit will shine God's light into His elected children to make them see spiritual things. And this is indeed a glorious mystery of God's redeeming love and His redeeming grace to enlighten the minds of His chosen one. What I'm saying is this: God will never fail to enlighten those whom He has chosen. When the Holy Spirit brings light into our hearts, we will see our helplessness. We will see our sinfulness. We will see our need to believe and to embrace Jesus Christ as our Savior. And we will grow also in relationship with Christ. And we will spend time with Him and in His Word and also in much prayer. We become His shining disciples when we walk in the light, when we walk in His light. So let us rejoice, my dear friends, and let us be thankful for spiritual illumination by the power of the Holy Spirit. Next, light symbolizes holiness and purity. The Bible tells us in 1 John 1, if we say that we have fellowship with Him, in other words, if we say, yeah, I'm a Christian, I'm in fellowship with Jesus, I love Jesus, I go to church, I do this for God and do that for God. John here says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Yes, my dear friends, what it means is this: just as we need to wash our faces and our bodies every day in order to clean ourselves, we also need to continue to search our lives and to see if we are right with God and walking in the light. God's Word exhorts us to strive to stay in God's light, and not just stay in God's light. Yeah, indeed, when we stay in God's light, we will stay out of darkness, the darkness of sin. So walking in the light means walking in holiness. Walking in the light means walking in purity. In holiness, that is, holiness in desires, holiness in thoughts, conversation, and conduct. Although we will never be perfected in holiness, none of us will be able to be perfect, but we are commanded to draw close. We are commanded to draw close to Christ, who is the light, confessing our sins and seeking for forgiveness. I remember some time ago, a sales lady tried to sell us a rather expensive vacuum cleaner. Probably some of us might have seen the demonstration. She was really a good sales lady. She used a very powerful light to shine on our bed and to show us all the dust that we could not see with our naked eyes. And that convinced us already that we better go and buy the expensive vacuum cleaner. Because we look at, oh yeah, really, look at all the dust, you know. Look at what we are inhaling. You know? Yes, indeed, under the searchlight of God's Word and that of the Holy Spirit, we will be able to see the ugliness of our sins. The question is that, are we willing? Are we willing to stand before God and let His word search us. I will elaborate as we go on to my next point later on. John warns us in 1 John 2. He that saith that he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness, even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. So what I'm saying is this: it is still possible for us as God's people, as God's children, though we claim to believe in Christ, and yet continue to walk in darkness. God's word is clear here, very clear. How are we able to distinguish between those who are true followers of Christ and those who are not? True followers of Christ will present no excuse to God when they are not walking in the light. And there's no excuse when we hate our brothers or sisters and unwilling to forgive. Because the Word of God tells us, he that hateth his brother is in darkness and he is spiritually blind. I'm not saying that we do not have struggles at all. I do have struggles. But then, in our struggle, we acknowledge our sinfulness, perhaps our hatred, perhaps our bitterness, perhaps our unforgiving spirit. But more importantly is that we need God to shine upon us that we might release all those sinful tendencies and all those temptations from the evil ones. So we have no excuse, and we must not give any excuses at all when we willfully sin against God, when we are still walking in darkness. Oh, the next important point for us to take note is that light symbolizes the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God's word is a lamp. God's word is like a torch light. When we are rooted in God's teachings, we will be able to see clearly. And this is because the word of God will keep us away from sin. Someone put it this way: either sin will keep you away from God's word, or God's word will keep you away from sin. May God help us. May God help all of us to be diligent in reading, in studying, and meditating upon God's word. I trust that you have set your resolution, especially for the coming year, that is to spend time reading, studying, and meditating upon God's word, because the word of God tells us His word will light up our path, light up our pathway on this earth. We are living in the last days. Look at all that is happening in this world today. And we are living in a sinful and a wicked world. We need God to light up our path so that we will not fall into danger, so that we will not fall into sin and into darkness. We need to continue to let God's word shine into our hearts. So my question is that, are you spending, my dear friends, really time studying and meditating upon God's word? My wife and I recently, together with 15 others, climbed Mount Kinabalu. And in order to reach the summit, we have to start climbing at about 3 a.m. in the morning. And 3 a.m. in the morning means pitch darkness. And it is compulsory that we must wear headlamps to be able to see our pathway to climb up to the summit. No headlamps means no climbing. That is the rule. And so, we have to put on the headlamps and making sure that we have enough batteries to light up our lights all the way to the summit. So it is same with our life. We need God's word to light our pathway as we climb together, as it were, as we race together to the place that God has promised us, that is in heaven, and to continue to live in this world until the time that God will call us. Remember what God's word tells us, as in the memory verse given to us in John 8:12. Jesus says that I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have what? The light of life. Not just light, but light of life. Think about Jesus now, lying in a manger in Bethlehem. A guiding star shining brightly led the wise men to where he was sleeping. But you know, the wise men, they did not doubt at all that Jesus was the king that they were searching for. Why? Because they saw this miraculous light given by God, directing them and leading them to the place where Jesus was born. And they carried with them gifts, treasures worthy of a king, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And they bow. And they bow before baby Jesus to worship and to adore Jesus. Jesus is indeed the light of the world, and he is the light of lights. God is light, and Christ is the image of the invisible God. The sun enlightens the whole world. And when, but what a dark dungeon would the world be without the sun? So those who follow Christ shall not walk in darkness of sin, lost, not seeing the light of Christ. So praise be to God, glory to God, glory to our Lord Jesus Christ, who shine into our hearts. And we see the great power of our Savior in convincing and converting our souls of our sins. So celebrating Christmas with all those bright artificial lights is just meaningless when our hearts do not have Jesus, the light of the world. Yes, we may be surrounded by many bright lights, but spiritually, we are still groping in darkness. So, my dear friends, come. Believe in Jesus, and you will have the light of eternal life shining in God's glory. You will have everlasting life and peace that is from Christ alone. Only Jesus can give us light and deliver us from darkness. Now, let us look at the command that Christians must walk in the light. Light represents also the spiritual work of believers, of God's people, of his redeemed ones. Our Lord Jesus Christ called all of us as believers in Matthew 5:14. Matthew 5:14, our Lord Jesus says, ye are the lights of the world. You are called to be light. We are to represent Christ, to shine forth as light. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. If you're on a hill, we'll see you. Cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but on a stand, and it gives light to all that is in the house. So what it means is this, the illustration given to us, the analogy given to us by our Lord Jesus Christ himself, is that we must shine. So in the same way, Jesus says, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. I still enjoy teaching the young ones, although my focus is more with the elderly now, not with the young children. But I still enjoy teaching all the young children this song. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. You know the song? This is the light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Jesus says that we as his disciples are the light of the world, and we are not going to, and we must not hide that light under the bushel, or for that matter, in the church building. We must let it shine. How can people see the light? That's what Jesus says here. Through our good works. Through our good works. Don't be afraid of doing good works. Okay? Although we are taught that you will not be saved by doing good works. But don't be afraid of doing good works. We must continue to do good works. An atheist once said that if he saw more redeemed people, he might be more inclined to believe in the Redeemer. What he was saying, is this. If he were to be able to see more redeemed people in action, practicing what they really believe, that is in Christ, he'll be more inclined to believe in our Redeemer. But again, unless the Holy Spirit touches life, he will not be able to see. And Christians do not have, or rather, Christians who do not have changed life, Christians whose life are not transformed, have a credible, or rather have a credibility gap that we have to really look into. Now, if I were to tell you how great my car mechanic is, although I'm not driving, but I do have one very good mechanic. If I were to say, wow, my mechanic is really good, but if my car is emitting black smoke and it seems that it's always breaking down, you'll probably be reluctant to take your car to him, to this so-called mechanic that I have recommended. So what good does it do to tell people how great our Savior is if they cannot see that we ourselves have been saved from sin? So again, Jesus says, let your light shine. Let your good works shine. We have that light shining through our lives if our actions reflect the nature of Christ. Yes, indeed, if it reflects the love of Christ, if it reflects the compassion of Christ, the humility of Christ, the forgiving spirit of Christ, his light shines through our attitudes, indeed, through our attitudes, through the words that comes out of our mouth and also our deeds. And when people see that our lives have been changed, so that they can see that our values are different, and they could see the power of God working in our lives, oh, I'm sure that will draw them even closer to our great Savior. This is the light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. And that's what we teach our young children. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. I remember singing the another stanza that is shining over Singapore. I'm going to let it shine. Then later on, we're going to shining over Johor Bahru. We're going to let it shine. Yes, indeed, shining for Christ everywhere. Yeah. So, my dear friends, where are you shining? Where are you going to shine for Christ? In your school? In your workplace? In your office? Amongst your neighbors? How? How about shining for Christ at Jewing Home? I'm sure Pastor Lim Ji Boon will be glad when you say, when you volunteer yourself to do some good work there. Light, what does it stand for? L-I-G-H-T. Light, L-I-G-H-T. Living in godliness and holiness together. Living in godliness and holiness together. 2 Peter 3 has this to tell us. 2 Peter 3, 11, verse 11 and 12. Since all these things are thus to be dissolve. What sort of people ought you to be in lives of what? Holiness and godliness. How do we shine in godliness and holiness? And when we say that a person is godly, we are referring to his relationship with God that is obviously manifested in his or her life. We say, oh yeah, that person is a godly person. What it means is this: he's a godly man devoted to God. Worshipping God on the Lord's Day is his first priority. Going to church on the Lord's Day is more important than going for his favorite game or watching his favorite television program. And his friends will have no problem saying, we cannot disturb him on Sunday because that is the day that he will go to church. Or for that matter, his friends will say, do not disturb him now. It's lunchtime, but look at him. He's reading his Bible and he's also praying. Yes, a godly man is shining for the Lord when he or she is devoted to God, living in godliness and in holiness. Yes, a godly man is one who will be devoted to God, a godly mother, reading the Bible to his children, a godly grandmother, spending time with her grandchildren, reading the Bible to them. Oh, I'm glad to hear some of us here are involved in reading the Bible to the elderly folks, whether at Jewing Home or other homes. I'm so glad. And that's the way, yes, indeed, we want to shine forth for the Lord Jesus Christ. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Holiness. Yes, indeed, living in godliness and holiness. Holiness, what does it mean? Does it mean to wear a holy dress? If there is one. Does it mean eating holy food? If there are. No, it's not about how we put on, what we put on. It's not about what we eat. It is not about our position in church. But it's about our attitude, our behavior, our conduct, and the desires of our heart. A holy person will indeed not fail. He will not fail to honor his parents. A holy person will not go on living in bitterness and having an unforgiving spirit. Yes, indeed, a holy person will not be drawn into having a covetous spirit. For that matter, let me put it this way. Godliness and holiness are always hand in hand together, as 1 Peter put it. And we cannot separate the 10 commandments and say, I only obey the first 4 commandments, but not the other 6 commandments. How do we shine? You shine for Christ by being obedient Christian to the moral laws that God has given to us. And when we have the light of Christ shining in our hearts daily, through his word, we will be able to see things clearer and we will have a clear vision, and that clear vision will also bring joy to our souls. The light of life. The light of life. Perhaps this morning you might be asking, why is it that I do not have that joy? I don't seem to have that joy of being a Christian in my life. Why? Perhaps you're not reading your Bible. Perhaps, yes, you're reading your Bible. You're not studying your Bible. Oh, yes, you're studying. But are you meditating upon God's Word? Allowing God's Word to flow into your life and leading you to obey Him. My dear friends, I believe that when God's Word were to illuminate our lives, shine upon our lives, and when we are willing to open our heart's door to the Holy Spirit illumination and the willingness to follow Christ's teaching, we will have joy. and we will be able to continue to shine even brighter and brighter for Christ. Yes, that's my desire, that I will continue to shine brighter and brighter for Christ. But that means I must continue to work at it. I must continue to what Jesus says, abide in me and I in you, for without me ye can do nothing. Yes, Jesus wants us to abide with him and to abide with him daily. So may we continue to praise God and be joyful and let the light of Christmas shine into each one of our lives and continue to walk with Jesus and Jesus alone. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we pray that all of us will continue to shine forth for the Lord Jesus Christ. Forgive us, Lord, especially when times when we are ashamed of Christ, when we are ashamed to declare his name, and when we fail to walk in the light. Please help us, O God, to be faithful to you and to walk more by faith and less by sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.